Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
We are back with another episode of Odds and End Zones on BGN Radio Hill. I am joined always, as always, by my guy, Zoe. Zoe, what's up, my man?
What's up, brother? Happy Saturday. Chilling,
it's a nice Saturday. Recording on Saturday this week. I think you'll be listening to this on Sunday.
Yeah.
But went to the Flyers game last night. First Flyers game of the season, home opener, season opener, both. And they lost in shootouts. Carter Hart played terrible, which not the most unsurprising turn of events. I may have called him Carson Hart last night at the game. But I did hit on, for the Odds and End Zones brand, I did Joel Farabee to have the first goal.
That's
and he did.
Cool.
At plus, I did a good good for the brand. I did a little shopping around. He was plus 1,100 on DraftKings, and I got him at plus 1,200 on FanDuel.
Yeah, very good for
so
the
feeling
brand.
Good about myself. Feeling good about myself.
That's awesome.
And I was feeling good about myself at the Eagles game on Thursday, just going in there. And I'm talking not just because they were playing Tom Brady, but from the pure atmosphere perspective.
Yeah.
I think it being a Thursday night game, I wasn't even sure it was definitely going to be a great crowd because, yes, it's a night game, but it's a Thursday night game. I know tons of people can't swing those because of work, because of other responsibilities, because people say, you know, I don't want to really do that and have to go to work on Friday morning, or they're not able to take off Friday. There's a lot of factors there that you might not think it's going to be as crazy of a crowd as it could be. But we had talked before that the 49ers game I thought was a disgrace from the fan base.
Yeah,
Kansas City was like fine, but it's still like it didn't feel like a true Eagles game, I think, because of the way people have already soured on the team. That's only increased since then. And the fact that they were playing, again, an overwhelming opponent. They've played some great offenses so far. And, you know, Tampa Bay is that kind of like Kansas City in that obviously they were both in Super Bowl last year, but they're both high-powered offenses. Both games, you think, you know, as Eagles fans, they might go there and get smacked. Right. And they did do a little bit of backdooring, but they did cover against Tampa Bay and made it interesting at the end of the game. But I said, I will say that I am happy with the fan performance there. I think people were rocked up. Because it's Brady, there's not that same connection with Patrick Mahomes. And if Andy Reid was somehow a player on the field, maybe it would be like that. But for any fan base, Tom Brady brings out the rowdiest and the opposing fans. But for Philadelphia specifically, given how Super Bowl 52 went on February 4th, 2018, that's even more so the case.
Yeah, I think there was always – or there's always going to be that rabid – you know, personality that he brings out of fans just because he is who he is. But for us, especially, you know, our fan base and given what happened, Eagle won a Super Bowl. I think that it's always going to be even more special, mostly because he, in so many ways, he always hints at how this team haunts him. You know, now they're obviously recently.
There are only two teams that haunt him, right?
Literally, only two.
There's
teams
only
that
two.
Haunt him.
There's only two.
Eli's Giants and Nick Foles' Eagles, the only teams that haunt him. So, you know, I think given also, you know, given the it means a lot more. You know, there's only 10 players from that team on this current Eagles roster, and
one's gone from, you know, one's gone from Thursday night.
And recent events, one's gone. So, you know, I still think that it's something that. It's really cool that it still sticks in his craw because, you know, we obviously still celebrate it and we still talk about it. So it's fun to know that we're still on his mind, too.
I would be mad if we weren't. I mean, the way we revel in this, the fact that if he was so blasé about it and just treated it as a game that he was playing the Carolina Panthers or something like that, that would pee me off, I think.
He was like, ah, whatever. You know, like I won another one since then. Like, you know, it was just another show for me, but the fact that it still pisses him off, it means a lot more.
Yeah, and I think that was definitely true with the Foles game last year that was on Thursday Night Football. I think it was actually coincidentally week six, too, when Chicago and Foles came in and beat them there. You know, he wasn't – I mean, that was the infamous, for the second time, snuck Foles with a handshake.
Yeah, when he snuffed him again on the handshake. Yeah. We got your number, Tampa Tom.
What was the vibe of the atmosphere from watching at home?
There were some
F Tom Brady chants going that were nice, and I wanted to mention this on the pod. There's a guy a row or two in front of me, not a guy that usually has season tickets, not someone I've seen before or anything like that. Or there's people behind me I have a good relationship with that I've seen for years and years.
Yeah.
But, you know, certain seats and certain rows or whatever. And I'm leading the charge a little bit on the F Tom Brady chant, as you could expect. And the guy's like going out to either go to the bathroom or buy a beer or buy your food. And he's like looking at me, goes, "Don't do that. He like feeds off." And I'm like, it's Tom effing Brady. Nothing anyone could say in the entire universe could get in his head, either good or bad. Like, me doing that doesn't affect that he has the most type one killer personality in the history of the sport.
Like, who,
if you're not going to go there and have fun on a Thursday night, why are you even there?
It's like saying that's so ridiculous. It's like saying, yo, don't say F Michael Jordan, man. He really feeds off that. Like it's
Michael Jordan's feeding either way, man.
He wants to cut our hearts out regardless. Like, it's not like, maybe if we be nice to him, he'll only beat us by 60 points instead of, you know, the typical 70 a night. No, like, they want to, they're type one killers. They want to end you either way. It doesn't matter if we're saying F Tom Brady or not, or we're giving a little golf clap, you know, when he's, when he's straightening himself up. That does not matter, dude.
Yeah, he's throwing a touchdown to Antonio Brown, and we're all supposed to golf clap for him. Like,
yeah.
Hats. We're doing the cheater nephew salute to him.
Right. Hey, hats off. You really spoke to defenders on that one.
You awesome. You really got us again for the thousandth time. I just thought that was weird. Like,
I thought the vibe at home was, I think a lot of us like taking. You know, toll of the Twitter timeline and stuff like that. I think a lot of us expected a blowout. I think a lot, but we were also, it was a pleasant surprise. But the thing that sucked the most is when you just saw they just weren't good enough. They're a bad team with no offensive identity and a defense that just isn't good enough on the back end to make crucial plays, right? And like, when a team shows you who they are, you have to believe it. And they're a 2-4 football team right now, and that's a reality. But more so, I think what you saw watching at home on Thursday night is there was no faith that they would get the stop that they needed, or they would make the drive they needed. Because if Tampa Bay doesn't go for it on those fourth downs and just kick the field goal they're supposed to, that game is over before we even turn our heads. But like, the fact that they couldn't capitalize on all those mistakes, and they couldn't capitalize on the time when the defense actually did stop them, shows you exactly how far away, like, where the gap is between them being able to win that game and how they really lost that game.
The back seven is killing me. I will give props to Avonte Maddox, who I thought played a really, really good game. And honestly, probably his best game since his rookie season, where he did flash a lot, filling in for a couple different defenders at a couple different positions. But and I think some of it is, you know, it's the chicken or the egg. Is it the scheme or is it talent? And they're certainly not super talented on the back end, specifically at linebacker. I think they're getting absolutely crushed. It's a an ad nauseum thing people have been talking about for decades. And sometimes I feel like it's okay. Like, it was okay in 2016, 2017, 2018. They had guys that were good enough there. But Alex Singleton could lead the league in tackles. But if he's getting tackled, getting pushed back 8 yards downfield and making the tackle, it's not really doing much for you.
Like, his tackles, he'll lead the league in tackles because he's always getting juked after the first tackle.
Yeah.
So the first attempt, OJ Howard runs him over and then he recovers and he chases him down. So, like, good effort, but you're tackling him 10 yards after you needed to.
But we were two straight home games. I've seen Jonathan Gannon somehow, he doesn't want to play dime, which, like, I'm not a defensive maestro. I understand what you're doing, but at a certain point, we've seen in two straight home games, specifically when I'm there, we've seen Eric Wilson or Alex Singleton sticking Tyreek Hill. And then we see, you know, Davion Taylor on Antonio Brown. Two of them maybe the two of the five or six most talented wide receivers I've ever seen. And because Jonathan Gannon doesn't want to go in a dime, they're not a dime team, even though they
right.
You can be a dime team if you want to be.
You know what I mean?
Are you a nickel team? Like, this team stinks on defense. So it's like, if you're going to stink either way, why don't you just have the right personnel out there to counter, you know, two of the most explosive offenses in the league, or, you know, two of the most explosive offenses ever, really, when you look at the total of the talent. And like, it's like, what are you're not learning anything from these mistakes already.
And there's no – he says it as in, like, there's a tax you have to pay for being a dime team. You can be where you want to be. So, like, if you decide during the week that, you know, maybe it benefits us if we play a dime, then, okay, you're playing a dime. And then it doesn't get any easier, to be honest. You go into next week, you're going into Vegas when they need a win the kind of week that they had, you know, and you're going up against a familiar face in Nelson Aguilar. But then they got the new brothers on the other side. You know, they got Waller. And a couple of young guys who tend to flash. So history tells us, at least in history at least, that we're almost assured to see another linebacker sticking one of their incredibly fast slot players. And it's gonna piss us all off again.
Well, the thing that I don't understand when he's saying that they're not a dime team is that I thought the whole point that we were gassing him up this offseason about and kind of sipping the Kool-Aid was that he doesn't have one true defensive scheme.
Right.
That he could be a 3-4 team. He could be a 4-3 team. He could do a bunch of different things, have mixed fronts. So that's true for the front. Why can't you mix it up and not just be a nickel team, but a dime team at times, or even a quarter if the situation calls for it? So I don't really understand that at all. Because the identity of this defense is kind of in the sense that they don't have an identity. They're able to do a bunch of different things in theory, because in practice it hasn't been that case. But why not, in theory again, can't you also be a dime team when you're playing against these teams that have unbelievable slot receivers or receivers that are incredible, just have to be lining up in the slot? And again, it's a case where they've played not just Kansas City and Tampa Bay, but Dallas is obviously looking like one of the best offenses in the league too. And Dak, unfortunately, having a MVP caliber season, as much as I hate to say it out loud.
It sounds like they both, like him and Sirianni, went to the Doc Rivers school of making adjustments, which is you don't make adjustments.
Yeah.
The common thing, like Sirianni was saying, we're not changing preparation, we're not changing, you know, our offensive approach. You know, he's saying we're not a dime team, we're not changing much up. And like, I get wanting to find an identity, but maybe that's not the way you find one. And so, like, you're not the Ravens of old. Like, the Ravens had Ed Reed and Ray Lewis, and they did what they did every single game because they dared teams to just beat those guys. Like, we're going to make you scheme around us. And we don't have that. So, like, you can't tell people to scheme around us. Like, so if you do, what they're going to do is what the past two teams have done. They've trotted out four wide receiver sets, and sometimes three wide receivers and a really, really good tight end, and they just dink and dunk and beat you, and they tip their shots down the field, and they bet that one of their receivers is going to be on one of our slow linebackers, and sure enough, you know, here it is. So I think that eventually you're going to get out-schemed, or you're going to get schemed out of what you're trying to do, and you have to make adjustments, and they haven't shown the willingness to do that so far.
Quick aside from a typically boring Eagles team, I have the take that I believe this for a bit, that Ed Reed is the best non-quarterback of all time.
Yeah, I think so. I love Ed Reed.
Yeah, I think he's like obviously Dawkins is my god, but I mean, he's not Ed Reed. You know what I mean? Like, they're different types of players, and they were in a similar eras. But you know, I think Dawkins is better than Polamalu, but Ed Reed is an all-timer.
I love him so much.
Two rings, right?
Yeah,
or just one.
I'm pretty sure he's that too.
When I would have got drafted after that 2000 team.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. When I was like little, obviously I think I love Deion. I love Deion because of the flashiness and the sneakers. But I think non quarterback, Ed Reed is definitely the best. I've never seen anyone cover the amount of land that he covers on the football field. And he did it effortlessly too. Like
he's
a very, very, very hard player. He got his nose dirty, went down and hit, did all that stuff. But he was someone who was just always knew where the ball was going to be and where to go. And he's another guy, speaking of Brady, who Brady said like gave him nightmares because he was so good at what he did. It never mattered. So like they might have, Brady may have won the game, but it was never easy going up against Ed Reed because he's so good at everything that he did. We may not ever see like that another prototype like that before because guys just don't come out of college that prepared anymore. I mean, that Miami team was nuts, you know, in any way, you know, speaking of college, but the way that he came into the league as prepared and polished as he was and as ready as he was, there just won't be another safety like that for quite some time.
I love that Miami team. I hated that he went to the Giants because I absolutely love Jeremy Shockey. Like every young white guy had to love this brash, like post new metal, you know, receiver slash tight end or whatever.
He was definitely one of the first. And what sucked obviously was well, at least watching him as a Giant. He was also very good. I can take a guy who sucks and talk trash. All you do is joke on him anyway. Like, he talked trash and he backed it up because he was so good. He just hated
him. Yeah, he's one of those guys, you know, you hate him if he's on any other team, but if he was on the Eagles, he would have been, like, my favorite player of all time.
Right. You're like, dude, I can't stand your guts, but if you were wearing green, you'd be my favorite player.
Yeah. And with Ed Reed, I feel like you mentioned Deion, I think. There's a top three with those two and Charles Woodson for the best ball skills ever for a defensive back. And Ed Reed, I think you can make the case for any of them, really. I mean,
I remember watching Charles Woodson when he was at Michigan. And I remember him, like, there was games they played, like, they're big games. He never left the field.
Yeah.
Like, he would play the defensive downs. He would do punt and kickoff returns, and he would even come in and play receivers sometimes, which is crazy. Like, if you think about how many snaps dudes take in college football like that. So, like, in the Ohio State game, you know, he never left the field. Like, that's just ridiculous to think about.
And how – I mean, he, like, was making Pro Bowls and stuff into his 30s. Like, imagine the amount of – he won Defensive Player of the Year or – First defensive player of the year? No. Well, first team all pro at cornerback in 2011 at 35. He won the Heisman in 1997.
Think about the gravity between that. The 97 year Heisman winner, and then almost what, 17, 18 years later, you're still making the Pro Bowl. Like, it's nuts. And he's a guy who you know, he's a really good football analyst.
I think he's awesome, dude.
He's so good. And he knows the game. He's really smart at it. And he doesn't overtalk. Like, a lot of those guys, just by nature, overtalk. So, like, they hear themselves and they like to see themselves talk. But
I wonder what that's like.
Yeah. I know, right? It'd be us. He's just someone who always he's just a him and Champ Bailey. I used to love Champ Bailey too.
Oh, Champ was mine. Champ was Lawler's boy. That was his favorite player of all time.
Dr. Lawler. I love Champ Bailey, man.
Champ was awesome.
He was always somebody who was always one of my favorite players to watch. He was another guy who just he didn't talk much, but he was just so good. And you just loved watching him because you knew he was gonna make a play. Like if that team ever needed to play, Champ Bailey was coming through for him.
That's low key one of the worst trades ever, I think.
Clinton Portis.
And I think Clinton Portis was awesome in Denver. Yeah. He played a while in Washington, but it was never like young Clinton Portis was, again, another hurricane, obviously, an absolute beast in Denver. At that time, they had three of the best running backs I've seen in my life in that division between LT, Priest Holmes, and him, just for that era.
When they got him, yeah. And that was an awful trade, I think. But I get it, but I think.
It would never happen now, obviously. No. It's for
that just tells you how good Champ Bailey was. But they did that. That trade would never be that.
No, it's like trading Jalen Ramsey for, I don't know, like Derrick Henry. No one would do that.
Yeah, that's exactly like the gravity of it considering, you know, where it was and where both of guys were in their careers, would be like, yeah, like the Chargers calling to, or whoever, I'm sorry, the Rams calling tomorrow and saying, yo, like, what's up with, you know, swap for swap. They're pro- I mean, the
type you never of- see swap for swap in football. It's a baseball move. You know what I mean?
So that's so funny because I was talking to my my dad about it the other day, and he was saying that as long as he's been watching the in this, like, we were talking, you know, number 25 for the Sixers. I don't. He who shall not be named, but he was saying
who
like, you see, yeah, who? You rarely see like a swap for swap in the NFL. It's mostly like a baseball thing, and sometimes basketball. But even in basketball, it's always something else attached. Like guys rarely make the same amount of money.
It's usually one big guy, and then like two or three smaller guys, and then
yeah, got, or like, and then like you're, and obviously the draft pick and stuff, but like. You got to put – so it's a situation where they – another quick aside. It's the situation they're in which makes this whole thing stink even worse because he's a max player. So now, like, you can't – unless you're taking back a max player like a Bane or a Brad Bill, the players you take back also have to match. So like, you got to find six guys who make up to what Ben Simmons is making too. So, like – but, like – take those six guys, and they got to be something. It can't just be like, give us your three best bench players and you know your two fringe starters. Like that sucks. That's an awful trade. But like, you got, so it's a I God bless that front office because I want them to get it right. They need to get it right for the sake of Joel Embiid. But I do not envy the position they're in right now.
I think Daryl Morey will buy an NFT of Woj's tweet of the Ben Simmons trade.
Oh yeah, we should. You know what? We should get the odds on that. I should talk to. We should talk to somebody and see if we
can see what Wavy's got on it.
Some kind. Yeah. See what we can get. Again, we are just a betting pod, no affiliation. So we should reach out to everybody and see who's willing to put some odds down on that.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
We could wrap up with some odds here, I think, for... next Sunday, the early line, Raiders haven't played yet. You'll be listening to this on Sunday. The Raiders will play then. We're recording this early on Saturday, the 16th. Early line for the Eagles in Vegas next week, Sunday, October 24th. What would you guess the line is? I know you told me, I told you what it was before the show, but like, what would you have said you thought the line would be?
I would probably say in Vegas, I would probably say the Raiders would be a touchdown favorite.
+2.5.
Oh.
I haven't gotten any of the lines this year for the Eagles. And I haven't touched any of them. I know they covered against Tampa Bay, but are they just the ultimate backdoor cover team? Because they did the – I don't think they covered against San Francisco, but it was a situation where they scored again late. They scored again late against Dallas. They did it against Kansas City. Is this the identity of this team is that they could be a good backdoor cover team. That's the identity, but Nick Sirianni can't say that.
It feeds into my – so my next point, this is not coming out again. You guys are listening to this. You know, on Sunday after the Eagles have played Tampa Bay. But a point that it feeds into is in the past two games, Jalen Hurts has had two rushing touchdowns. That leads right into that backdoor cover thing because that's a good, like, they're such a weird fourth quarter team where, like, they have this, you know, little engine that could, so, like, they keep playing hard. So they get those two like garbage touchdowns at the beginning of the fourth quarter and they eventually lose the game. I think there might be a point, there might be something to like Vegas saying, all right, well, if they do that against the Raiders, they actually might win the game. I think that's
part Vegas of it. Knows, right?
If anybody knows Vegas does, that's for sure.
You're not going out there, right?
No, I wish to.
I've never done Vegas like as an. I went there once when I was with my parents when I was younger, just you know, touristy thing. But I've never gone as an adult. I don't even know if I want to go. Like, sure, I'd want to. It's all inclusive, sure, but feels a little rough on the pockets. I mean, you can make it all back, I guess, in theory, if you're you got those odds and end zones going.
Yeah, it's a great city. I've been a couple of times. I actually got married in Vegas.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So we
on a whim or no?
No. So very quick story. We wanted a destination. So we knew that. And at the time, my fiance had not gone to Vegas. So she said, how about Vegas? So
I guess if we have to, we have to go to Vegas.
You know what? You twisted my arm. We're going to Vegas to get married. so we plan on going back probably to celebrate, our 10 year, which is, you know, 5 years away. So, but it's a cool city though, man. My Vegas advice to everybody that goes is don't count how much you lose because you're going to lose a lot. So don't even count it. Just close your eyes and say it was a great trip. I'll see you in 3 more years, Vegas. That's how long it's going to take to recover.
We'll be out there like Timberlake and Charlie Wilson. I know this will be out on Sunday after the college slate, but did you want to give your college picks and we could follow up with them next week?
Two quick picks. Again, you guys are going to hear
this. Did Clemson cover last night? Did they win? In the dome?
You know what? That's a good question. I turned it off. They were up a touchdown.
Siri, call Wavy Davy.
They won 17-14.
Oh, 13.5
points. 13.5.
That's
going to say.
Swaggy might get his thumbs broken.
Swaggy might get his wrist broken or something. That was his lock.
Quad bomb.
Yeah.
But Wavy did say, like, I know he's a Cuse guy that Friday night in the dome is a that's an undertaking. That's even if Syracuse isn't a good team that specific year, that's a
no
fly zone kind of. I like that energy.
I agree with Davey. It actually is that had trap game been all over it. I'm surprised it even came out with the W because Friday night in the dome can be a house of horrors. Like you go in top ranked and you come out losing. It's just a weird. Also, when you're in college, a Friday night game is so weird to prepare for.
Like, throws your whole body off, and the home team is ready for it. It's a weird travel week. It's weird, and they're 19 and 20 year old human beings. If your school schedule is weird for a week, you feel that.
So weird because that's one less day of practice. It's one less day of conditioning, and like one less day of getting your body right. So your whole week is thrown off. So everything you've done on a normal week. You have one less day of.
Yeah.
And you got to show up Friday night and like be ready to win. Like, dude, that's how upsets happen.
Yeah.
Speaking of upsets, which I don't pick any. with these two. But
I'm gonna write them down so I don't forget for next week.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You're going on the record, bro.
So my two big ones for the week. So we got Texas versus Oklahoma State. Texas is reeling from that crazy Red River shootout with Oklahoma. And they are facing an Oklahoma State team that's fresh off a bye. But I don't know, man. Steve Prashisian has that team, that Texas team scoring 44, almost 50 points a game. They're actually desperate for a W right now to stay alive in that Big 12 division. So I actually think that I'm going to take Texas and the over. I think the over under is 60. And they they're averaged, and Oklahoma State can score as well. So I think Texas
team over. Line?
Yeah, your team money line for sure. Okay. And the next one, my game of the week, our Georgia Bulldogs are playing the Kentucky Wildcats. This one's down
in Athens. Amazing Kentucky team, man.
Yeah. down in Athens, between the hedges. Actually, it's going to be a really good game, I think. Kentucky has a good defense. They have a couple of guys on offense who can score. Georgia has a couple of guys banged up, but they got, you know, they're newly ranked number one team in the country. After Bama's loss. But I think that what you're going to see is it's probably going to be low scoring, probably going to be determined by who can make a last stop, and that Georgia defense has yet to prove me wrong. So I think I'm going to ride defense on this one, and I'm going to go Georgia money line as well.
Do you like you? Not that you're picking this, but do you like Kentucky on the spread? What's the spread? It's got to be double digits, right?
Let me check again. Maybe it's double digits.
I think the last time I saw it was like 15.
Yeah, 51.
That sounds about right.
That sounds about right. It's right here. I'm logging into FanDuel right now. Not affiliated.
Not yet.
Not yet. FanDuel, holla at us.
Oh, 21 and a half.
21 and a half. I don't
know. Like not that's your play, but.
Yeah.
Not that's do you my like play. Kentucky? You like the Kentucky thing. Plus, I like Kentucky plus.
Right? Yeah, that 21 and a half is dangerous. I don't think they're that bad. Like, I understand where they are. Obviously, Georgia is a house of horrors for many teams, but I think Kentucky is a little better than that.
Have they ever been ranked number one in this Kirby Smart era?
No.
I don't think so either, just because they've been like 2, 3, 4 a lot. And obviously, a lot of that.
Yeah, they've been Bama, 2, 3, 4.
Through the Bama Clemson era.
I was going to say, it's crazy because the Kirby Smart era has always been the Clemson Bama era. So like they've never had an opportunity to be ranked higher than 2 or 3 or even 4. So this is it. We'll see, man. I know he takes a lot of flack, rightfully so, because a lot of his teams tend to be really good defensively and then suck offensively, mostly due to the quarterback. So we'll see. He's got a good quarterback. He's got a 4 winnable, you know, on the flying receivers and one heck of a defense. So we'll see how he does.
When would you say the last time Georgia won the national championship is? I just looked it up.
Oh my God, man. It's got to be.
Neither of us were alive. Just
I was just going
to
say, terrible. I was born in 85. Definitely was way before I was alive. So 80. Probably, was it 60s, 70s?
80.
Woo!
They have fewer national championships than the Penn Quakers. I'll throw that out there.
That's incredible.
there might have only been 3 or 4 teams playing back then, but they got the hardware.
Still counts. And, and given the fact that they are a Power 5 program, it's crazy. It's also a testament to how hard it is to win.
Especially in the SEC.
It's a note that I put down too, that it's really, really hard to win in college football and win it consistently and win in the SEC. So
we've seen at least 4 other teams win: Auburn, LSU, Bama, Florida,
Florida State.
Oh no, they're in they're ACC.
Oh yeah, really. ACC. Sorry,
they could have been the SEC previously.
You look at those teams, but it's tough. It's not for the weary at all.
Well, you probably would have thought Florida has won more than they have, too. They probably have. They had two under Urban. It was the Chris Leak year.
Yeah, Chris Leak.
Tebow was a kind of a gadget player. And then the one year when Tebow actually won. And then I think Spurrier had one with Sexy Rex Grossman. And he might have had another
Sexy
one,
Sexy Rexy.
With or Danny Werfel.
One well, of those you know, they're those teams, again, like when we were growing up, like those teams, those like the Florida State teams, a lot of those teams we thought they won a lot, they actually didn't. Like they were just flashy and had a lot.
Hard to win in college football.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what it is, dude. Like we were watching it, looking back at it now as an adult, it's like, oh, like that team never won anything. They just had really good players and they're so flashy, but they never won like any hardware for it. It's interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, I will hold you to those picks next week. And then cool, next week we don't have a definitive date set. Ideally we could record Thursday or Friday. We'll go over some more Eagles Raiders stuff. Yep. We do have this early line. We'll see if that changes dependent on how the Raiders or anything else going wrong in the NFL occurs this weekend and early next week. But if for me, anything else you need to plug? Need Sixers on Wednesday, need 25 gone.
Sixers on Wednesday, Sixers on Friday, home opener. Need 25 gone. So don't hold me. You may hold me for this.
I'll hold you too. I'm getting my pen right now.
I think this saga ends way sooner than we all think. I think he's gone in the next week, 2 weeks. I buy what they're saying on management end, but I think that for all parties involved, it's going to be a swift resolution. And I think that they will destroy the Pelicans on opening night. And I think that they sans Zion. It should be a good workout. And then Friday they'll beat the Nets by 5 on Friday at home.
Kyrie and Ben are going to be playing one-on-one at 18th and Johnston while the other guys play.
Typical, a day in the life of those two Warriors.
All right. I'll let you go, bro. All
right, bro.
Good pod. Be sure to follow us, subscribe, leave a review on your podcast platform of choice. Also, we do these podcasts on YouTube. Subscribe to the BGN YouTube channel. I will have our great podcast producer, Rachel, include a link to our podcast channel or Leading Green Nation YouTube channel in the episode description. So be sure to subscribe there. Helps us out. You know, watch, give us some thumbs up, some comments, all that.
Yep.
So no Eagles this weekend. You'll hear this on Sunday. Have a stress-free Sunday.
Enjoy, spend some time with the folks. Watch the session tomorrow night.
Hit that pumpkin patch. Get it out of the way.
Yeah, and call it a weekend.